Heavenly Father, we come into this place this morning, and we have come with expectation to be able to worship you, and we thank you, Lord God, for that opportunity to do just that. Heavenly Father, as we come to this point in the service where we open your holy word, may we be reminded that it has been given to us as a gift, that it's been given to us as a way for us to learn your will, your desire, your promises for our lives. May we truly this morning, as we spend time in your word, draw strength from it, draw encouragement from it. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Just an absolutely beautiful time of worship this morning, so thank you guys. I open with this question. Have any of you, and I already know the answer to this question, have any of you ever experienced challenges or disappointments or what even seems to be impossibilities in your life that you just have to lay down at the feet of Christ? We've experienced those, right? We just do. It is part of the journey of life. This morning, we're going to start with something that's a little bit heavy, but then we're going to get to something that's full of a whole lot of hope. So just track with me for a minute or two here before we move on to that piece of hope. The last several weeks, the last month, in my own life, I've been in one of those difficult situations, right? One of those situations that I just need to lay down at the feet of Jesus. And in the last 4 weeks, I've had some different medical tests done, and at the end of the day, the result is that they're saying that without the hand of God without the hand of God, that it looks like I'm probably going to be fighting a little bit of a battle with cancer in the days ahead. The biopsy for that to confirm it will come this Thursday. But the reality is, of all the doctors we've talked to and all the tests that are done, is that there's really not a whole lot of other options for it to be. So we want you guys to be aware of that so that we can be asking you to be praying for us. What it looks like, just to give you the picture so that we're all on the same track, I want to be open and transparent with my church family. You guys are my family. So what they're seeing and are assuming at this point is probably cancer, is that there's in the esophagus is where it started and it's gone to lymph nodes and gone to lungs. So that's where we sit today from what medical people tell us, but still waiting on that biopsy to confirm that later in the week or two ahead here. I know that in this room, I've had conversations with many of you in this room in the last weeks and months. And I know that in this room that there are many other people that are facing fears and concerns and hardships of your own. And you have those realities that you yourself have to walk through. Last week and this week, my messages have been very intentional. Last week, if you remember, I was reminding us of God's goodness through all of life's circumstances. No matter what we face in life, God is still good. There's no question about that. His goodness never changes. And this morning, my message is obviously a great reminder and encouragement to myself, but I hope it can be to those of you that are walking your own journeys as well. And it's the fact that God gives us hope through Jesus Christ. If you certainly are in a chapter of life where everything seems good and well and wonderful right now, man, we all absolutely love those chapters of life. At least I'll speak for myself. I love those chapters of life. And I'm glad that that's where you sit this morning. Praise the Lord. But I encourage you to track along with us because, as we all know, life throws curveballs at us sometimes when we least expect them. And knowing God's word and the hope that he offers us through his holy word is so incredibly important. In the tough chapters of life, what does Christ have to offer those who are hurting? What does Christ have to offer those who are shaken to the core? What does Christ have to offer to those who are having nagging doubts lingering in their minds? What does Christ have to offer to his loved children that might be hurting? We're going to look at three things this morning that Christ offers to those that are walking those paths, those journeys. The first is this: Christ offers us his presence and companionship. His presence and companionship. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Matthew 28, verse 20. It's part of the Great Commission. At the end of the Great Commission, it says, and these are Jesus' words, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I am with you always. Companionship. Presence. God's presence. Always. No matter what we're in, no matter what we're facing, Christ has offered to be our companion throughout all of life. He is with us during the good days and the bad days alike. He stays with us when the seas of life are smooth and great for sailing on. And he is with us when the waters are rough and the skies are stormy. He is there when we seek him, and he is there when we don't seek him. Christ never leaves us, ever. He is there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, every year that he gives us to walk this earth. Christ is always there when we need him and always ready to help us through the journeys of life. I think that this truth is really captured in a really familiar poem that's written by an unknown author that many of you have probably heard already. But I want to share it because it's just a good reminder to us. And the imagery of it is meaningful, I think. It's Footprints in the Sand. It says, "One night I had a dream. I was walking along the beach with the Lord. And across the skies flashed scenes of my life. In each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One was mine, and one was the Lord's. When the last scene of my life appeared before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and to my surprise, I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. And I noted that it was at the lowest and the saddest and the hardest times of my life when I asked the Lord about it, and I said, 'Lord, you said that once I decide to follow you, that you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why you left my side when I need you the most.' And the Lord said, 'My precious child, I never left you during your times of trial. Where you see only one set of footprints, I was carrying you.'" Isn't that imagery just powerful? Never leaves us. His word tells us that he is with us always, always. I know many of us in here are parents, and I'm going to guess that some of you have experienced what I have experienced as a parent a time or two, where you go somewhere, you go to the store, you go to the park, and you're distracted just slightly while you're there, right? For whatever reason, you're looking at something at the store, maybe you're on your phone at the park, whatever the case is, you're distracted a little bit, and a minute or two goes by, and then you look up and you don't see your child where they were. And what happens in that moment almost instantly is like this panic sets in. That there's this sinking feeling that just instantly comes into you. Then after looking around for a little bit more, you usually, in all of our situations at least, after you've wandered around, you have found that the child has just wandered off somewhere. They've gone to the far side of the playground to play with a different toy, or they're hiding in the clothes rack at the store, right? Hiding on mom and dad, just to be funny. Real funny joke for every parent. What happens immediately after you discover that child, and after that fear that you've just faced, is you don't take your kids off or your eyes off that child for the rest of that time, right? You are kind of watching that child like a hawk in the next moments ahead. At that point, even if the child is trying to lose you or to scare you by hiding in the clothes, I'm going to guess that they couldn't because they've now got your full attention. Christ has offered to walk with you and I in life. And he remains with us even when we turn away from him. He stays with us even when we stray from what we know is right. And he is with us even when we don't deserve it. He stays with us even when we have our doubts. Christ never loses you, even when you try to hide in the clothing rack. He's with you. He's present. Secondly, Christ offers us sympathy, empathy, compassion. You choose the word. Many are familiar with the story in Scripture about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. This passage contains probably every Sunday school child's favorite Bible verse to memorize, right? We all know what that verse is. Jesus wept. Two words. Everybody wants to memorize that one. The very short and brief summary of this passage of Zacharias is that he has been dead for 4 days. He's in the tomb, and Jesus shows up and performs this miracle of all miracles, and Jesus raises him from the dead. Here's just a few verses that I want to share with you from John chapter 11, verse 33. In fact, turn with me there. If you're using church Bibles, we're page 761. If not, John chapter 11, verse 33. And it's Lazarus. I think I said Zechariah earlier. So John chapter 11, starting in verse 33, it says, "When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled." Deeply moved in spirit and troubled. It sounds like sympathy and empathy. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And then it goes on, it says, "Jesus wept." Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Christ has offered to give us his compassion. He understands the reality of pain and grief firsthand. He has experienced what it's like to lose a friend or somebody that is close to him, a loved one. He has felt the emptiness of loss and the sorrow associated with death. Christ watched as the pain of Mary and Martha bared itself after this loss. He saw the reality of grief. And he understood it. He empathized with it. Jesus, as he stood there with Martha and Mary in their time of pain, he offered hope. He offered comfort. He offered empathy. And he offers the same to you and to I when we are in those moments of needing it as well. We're going to do something a little bit different twice in the message moving forward here. This will be the first time where I'm going to ask you to responsively read with me, and it'll be on the screen, and you're going to be reading the yellow, and I'm going to be reading the white, all right? So this is called Jesus Weeps With Us. It's just a reminder of his empathy, his sympathy, his comfort that he offers to us. And it says this, when we weep, as we face the realities of a lost and sinful world, as we face the sometimes horrible challenges in life, as relationships end in bitter battles, as bitterness or hatred builds in our hearts of believers towards others, as people face loneliness, people face depression, as people face anxiety, as people face disease, as people cope with the loss of loved ones, in our most difficult days. That's the promise. That short little Bible verse that every kid wants to memorize is a powerful, powerful verse. Jesus wept. Jesus weeps with us. The promise we have is that in our times of need, Christ is there to give us his compassion. And the promise is they don't stop there. Christ also offers us his comfort. His comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 and 5, I'm going to have you turn there with me as well, page 816, if you're using the church Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Of all comfort, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, all of them, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. I literally have been on the receiving end of that this week, right? I had lunch on Friday with somebody who's experienced trouble, who's experienced hard times. I've received that comfort in an email after that lunch saying, Dustin, I want to walk with you. And then it goes on and it says, for just as the suffering of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Christ offers us his comfort in life. Christ wants to give us comfort. He loves us with an eternal love that will never die. Christ is here and now, and he's ready to be by our sides. No matter what you're facing, the presence of Christ brings peace to the troubled and hope to the hopeless and strength to the weak. The Greek word for comfort literally means to come alongside and help. To come alongside and help. That's what comfort is, to come alongside and help. And Christ offers to do just that, to come alongside and to help. Now let me be clear. Listen to this. Comfort does not remove our difficulties, your difficulties, our sufferings, your sufferings, but it does bring us strength, encouragement, and hope to deal with whatever those difficulties or troubles might be. Paul makes it clear to the Corinthians and to us that when we go through hard times, Christ comes by our side to help us. Life is unpredictable. I think everybody in here would agree with that. We have no idea what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow? And I love that saying. I have no idea what tomorrow holds. And I'll tell you, in our family, we feel that more than ever. We have no idea what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. Christ has stood by our side, by your side, through many hardships and many difficulties in life. Christ doesn't change. Today, no matter what the day brings, Christ offers you and Christ offers me and Christ offers the person sitting next to you, and the people watching home, Christ offers us all healing and hope. Christ stands by our sides. We have hope because Christ offers us his presence, his empathy, his compassion, as well as his comfort. And that is where our hope is found. It's found in the promises of Jesus Christ. John Maxwell writes these words: "Hope sweetens while bitterness bites. Hope sings when all melodies are gone. Hope believes when evidence is eliminated. Hope listens for answers when nobody is talking. Hope climbs over obstacles when nobody is helping. Hope endures hardship when nobody is caring. Hope smiles confidently when nobody is laughing. Hope reaches for answers when nobody is asking. Hope presses toward victory when nobody is encouraging. Hope declares to give when nobody is sharing. And hope brings the victory when nobody is winning." Our hope. And this is what I want to end with this morning. It's going to be on the screen again. Our hope comes from a loving, caring, and compassionate companion called Jesus. Our hope comes from an eternal promise. Our hope comes from an eternal plan. And our hope comes from an eternal perspective. Father God, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the hope that you give to each one of us. We thank you, Lord God, that you see so much bigger than the moment that we are in today. That you see so much bigger than maybe the trial or the difficulty that we're facing. We thank you, Lord God, that you see the big picture, the eternal picture, that you care about the salvation of people and the good of this world. And that you desire for people to enter into your kingdom, Lord God. We thank you for your plan. And we pray, Lord God, that even when we walk through trials, when we walk through hardships and hard places, we thank you and we pray, Lord God, that you would bring glory to your name and to your kingdom through those situations. We thank you for the hope that we see here this morning as we look at your word, for the fact that you walk with us, that you are present with us, that you comfort us, that you are with us through sympathy and empathy. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.